engaged to men. Obviously, if you believe that, you're not married anyway, because you probably have a wife that's preaching to. Let me move on. I wasn't going to say that. That just kind of slipped out there. But the truth is, there are people who have a legitimate, not legitimate, but they have an ingrained resistance to that. I want to tell you, if I can help remove that one pause that you may have, in Acts chapter 2, the Apostle Peter is standing up and preaching on the day of Pentecost, this mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He's quoting from the Old Testament prophet Joel, and we don't say much about this because it's just an accepted fact that we believe that men and women both belong in ministry, public settings of ministry, and youth as well. But let's, if you can put up verse 17, Acts 2, verse 17, and it shall come to pass, this is the prophetic word from the Old Testament, but again declared in the New Testament, it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh, your sons and your, help a brother out here, your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my men servants and on my maid servants, what gender is that? Women, female, men servants, on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Thank God that God's using still by the power of his word through men and women and young people that he's got an outpouring going on now. And I say amen and so be it to it. We are blessed to have Dr. Theresa Lawson with us tonight. Not just tonight, but on as part of the staff of this church, pastor of ministry development, and a woman who I know not only loves God but loves people. And when I see the passion of that, and she's been investing in so many of your lives and our lives too, in the life of the body of this church. And so it's with honor that I present to you, amen. God bless you.
Amen. Well, did you have a good day? I know it's been a long day for a lot of people, so it's really good to see you back in the house of the Lord tonight. A little different what I want to talk about, so it's going to kind of do a mixture of two of my passions, the physical body and the spiritual body. So tonight I'm going to be talking to you about the body. By the way, Brother Solomon, it's so good to see you back. You know how sometimes you see people and you just get a happy feeling in your heart? So it's good to have all of our worship team, but love it when we're all together. As the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 12 and 12. Notice that there are many members, but there is, you can talk, one body. Many members, but one body. Here's some interesting facts about the physical body. Within our own body, we have cells. We probably all know that. The most basic component of the human body. And each cell performs a specific function within the body. Inside these cells are even smaller components that make up that cell. For instance, there's a nucleus which is responsible for all of your genetic information. So if you're not happy with the color of your eyes, the lysosome contains cellular digestive enzyme. And then the mitochondria is responsible for cellular energy. Now, why is that important? Because each minute part of that cell has a unique function, and it is only one component, but that function is vital to that cell. Not only to that cell, but to the tissues in our body. When one of those components break down, it will affect that entire cell. Do you understand kind of where I'm going here with this? So each part is important. Here's some interesting facts that I found. The body naturally renews itself. Women, listen to this one. The skin we have today is not the same skin we had 7 years ago. Now, albeit it's a little droopier, And this stuff called cellulite has developed. But anyway, it's not the same as it was 7 years ago. And it's the largest physical barrier to diseases. And it's actually the largest organ in our body. But there's nothing insignificant about even the cells of our skin. And then the fat cells beneath your in your body is only, excuse me, let me go back again. The fat cells beneath your skin are renewed every single year. I kind of wish that they would just drop off and never come back, but anyway. And then the oldest red blood cell in your body is only 120 days old. The entire lining of your GI tract, gastrointestinal tract, is renewed every 3 to 5 days. This is crazy stuff. I mean, crazy stuff. The liver is the body's detoxifier, and it purifies the contaminants or the chemicals that we're so bad about putting in our body. But it renews itself every 150 to 500 days. Crazy. But God made the body, every cell in that body, every part in that body, and every part has a function. You get it? Every part has a function. The antibodies in our body work so well, guys, get this, that if 1 million bacteria cells were injected into the skin of a healthy being, fewer than 10 are likely to survive for 5 hours. Nuts, that's crazy. God has made us uniquely and wonderful. Amen. Boy, when he talks about making us and creating us, look what a job he did. So except for all the accidents and all of the repair and the regeneration in our body is going to come from within. Remember, each place, each piece has a place in order to complete that whole picture. And there is the same within the body of Christ. There are many parts to the body of Christ. Look around you. Do we all look the same? Do we all act the same? Thank the Lord. No, the answer to that is no. But every single person is vitally important to the body of Christ. Jack Hayford said, imagine a place where people had the same name and the same job. Can you imagine? What was that show, Vance? Where they said, this is my brother Bob, my other brother Bob, my other brother Bob. He had three brothers named Bob. And I even had a friend that named two of her sons Robert. And I was like, what'd you do? Get a mental block or something? But can you imagine? Greeters would love it because everybody come in and said, hey, Bob. Good morning, Bob. We're so glad to have you. Everybody has the same name, the same job. Their cars, there were no distinguishing features. Nothing set them apart from each other except their sex and the amount of space that that individual person took up. Does that sound interesting to anybody in this place? Good. I don't think it is either. You know, when I drive my car, no comments. When I drive my car, I use my eyes to see where I'm going. I use my ears, Aubriel, to cue me into my surroundings, not the music I'm listening to. I use my hands to hold the steering wheel, and I use my feet to push the gas on the pedal. Now, you can see my eyes, you can see my ears, you can see my hands, and you can see my feet. But there's an organ in my body that is just as vital to that driving as my eyes, my ears, my hands, my feet. Anybody got an idea? Exactly. My brain, believe it or not, is the command center for my ears, my eyes, my hands, my feet. You can't see my brain, but how many of you believe it's pretty important when you're in that vehicle and you're driving? Now, if one part of my body decided that it was going to go on strike, I might be in trouble. Can you imagine getting up one morning and anticipating just jumping out of that bed? My first thing is heading to the coffee maker, but I get out of that bed and this leg decides it's not working today. It's going on strike. I would have a hard time. I'd make it to that coffee maker, but I'd have a hard time getting there. But too often, Brother Johnny, go ahead and come up. Too often, we think that we're insignificant and that we're not important in the body of Christ. This past week, can I use any of these? Where are you? I don't know where you are. Okay. This past week, Brother Johnny called me, didn't know what I'd been thinking about and what I was going to preach on. And he called me just crying. and had the best testimony. And I thought, well, my goodness, you could preach my sermon for me. So I thought I'd give him a few minutes and let him share with you a testimony about the body of Christ. Every person has a unique function in the body of Christ. Brother Johnny, share with us your testimony.
Well, excuse me. I was at the heart doctor's office last Thursday, and I was supposed to undergo a stress test. Well, they started shaking me up a little bit. As it is, I don't like doctor's needles or none of that stuff anyway. And with the condition that they had diagnosed me with a while back, I don't like to hear anything, really. But I got to thinking about this stress test and all the things that she said, well, if you don't get on the treadmill, we're going to have to inject you, and it can cause this and cause that. And she made me a nervous wreck. When she started talking about maybe a stroke, maybe a heart attack, and I thought, well, as it is, I can't breathe right as it is with all this trouble I've been having. And I thought, Lord, I know my pastor over here is busy helping other people, so I called the church and I called Pastor Teresa. And I told Pastor Teresa, I said, I'm in here in this office, and I'm nervous as heck. I don't know what to do or what to say or which way to go. I felt really totally lost. I know that sounds kind of dumb, but I did. And right away, she just started praying. Just started praying. Excuse me. Telling me about how I was a part of God. And for me to look to God. So that's what I did. She got through praying for me and made me feel better. But I still said, wait a minute. There's still something I've got to do. I started talking to God. I mean, more than I ever had before. And all because of a stress test. But the main thing that came out of it, man, he gave me such a good feeling. I asked him right then and there, God, if I don't have to do this, if it's not a matter of life or death, then stop it right now. Your word has always been, call me. Call me when you need me. When you don't never think that I'm there, don't never forget I'm there. And I've always believed that he was with me. Even before I was saved, I'm living proof I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him. But that day, when he showed me his presence, more or less, more so his love, I mean, I told him, just stop it. Stop it right now. I don't want nothing else to do with just you're the only one that has the power that can do that. Well, no sooner did I get through with that, the doctor's nurse came in. And this was my heart doctor's nurse, not the other people that wanted to do all that other. But she just said, you know, your doctor has just stated that you don't have to go through this. I thought, what? I started saying, God, you really heard me. You really, really heard me. And to me, that meant so much. And about that time, she started telling me, you can leave, you can leave. And I told her again, now, if I really have to do this, okay, so be it. No, the doctor says, you're fine. You can just go. And I thought, what else can it be? God Almighty. His word. Now I know what it really, really means is his word. And when I was walking out of that office, Pastor Ronnie comes walking in. Where Pastor Teresa had, I guess she called him, and I told him that I was up there, and he's up there and doing his thing at Planned Parenthood. Don't you know he came over to where I was at? If that ain't unity of a church, I don't know what it is. And I started thinking, like I just heard Audrey say, it's the body. I got to thinking, man, all those times that I've heard, the church is the body. It's a mixture of everyone and everything put together. And that we all have a purpose. And man, I got another message. I'm not used to all this, so I know it sounds kind of strange, but it is a body. It's unity. It's togetherness. It's the love of God. The love of all of you out there that have been so friendly toward me. I'm kind of new. Some of you have been here forever. But Pastor even got to preach and talk to people while he was there. And so another thing about how God had everything and put everything together, to me, that's just a miracle. I don't know what else to call it. To think that he could use me, of all people, me,
amen,
to do his work. Glory, amen. Hallelujah.
We love you, Brother Johnny.
Thank you, Pastor.
Sister Audrey was there with him the whole time. That was another beautiful part.
She was there with me because she said, I'm going with you. Now I'm going to be there all day. And when this first happened to me, you know who, when they put these plugs in my lungs, Chiquita didn't know me that much than the man in the moon. Do you know she went and sat with me the whole time I was there? Even when they took them out, she was there again. The whole time. When I first came and I was going through water baptism, I was scared because I couldn't breathe as it is. I can't lay down. I can't go in the water. Brother Cody, another one who just grabbed me and just said, I'm going to hold you. Don't be afraid. More or less, God's going to hold you. So between everyone here, the minister tees it seems, I have so much love in my heart. And if he can save me and rescue me and make me see all these things, what a wonderful place to be in. That's all I can say. And thank you all. Love you. And I love God.
Amen.
Thank you for letting me say
so. Amen. Amen. I just wanted you to have an idea of the body of Christ coming together. You know, a lot of times we'll use the excuse, well, I can't do what so-and-so can do. But you know what? We can all do our part. You know, all he expects us to do in Romans 12:1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And then he goes on to say, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. So the first thing that he's wanting us to do is just, are you available? When Moses was telling the Lord all the reasons why he couldn't, what did God say? All he asked for was, what is that in your hand? So don't think I can't because the Lord is saying, if you'll just present yourself, I can use you. You may not be a person of great ability to speak. You may not be able to sing. You may not be able to lift or whatever. We can think of all the things that we can't, but God is just saying, will you present yourself to me? Amen. And then in Romans 12:3-5, I like this. It sounds just like Paul when he's talking. He said, for us believers, that we're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. Because we're one body. And in other words, he's letting you know, he's reminding us, hey, don't get all caught up in who you are and all your stuff, because you're just part of a body, the body. And so not to think of yourselves more highly than you ought to. And then down in 6-8, I kind of want to read that. And I'm going to read this one in the New King James. She'll be happy for that. But he said, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Wait, what did he say? Use them. Does that mean put them on a shelf? Does that mean when you feel like it, when you've had enough sleep, or when everything is going good? He said, use them. Amen. If prophecy, then let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. and he who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, and he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Why did he take the time in verses 6 through 8 to go through these various, this is just one place where Paul goes into the various gifts. They're also listed in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. We often think of 12 and 14, but love is one of the greatest gifts, and I'll get into that in a little bit. So they're a big deal. So why are there various gifts and administrations in the body of Christ? Each one of us, you know, we're like PVC pipes. I think of us as PVC pipes that we're the conduits that he can flow through. And so the spiritual gifts are not ours. They're not mine. I can't say I have the gift of or I operate in whatever. I mean, it is God's gift that flows through us, and he wants us to be available for the gifts to flow through us. So why? Why are there various gifts? And I'm glad as I look around this room, you know, if I came in and I needed healing and someone had the gift of mercy, I'm thankful for you. But frankly, I really need the gift of healing or gift of faith or gift of miracles, whichever one. I'm good with all of them, just as long as I get to feeling good. But why do we have the various gifts? For the common good of the people, to build up the church, not to wave it and say, look at me, look how wonderful I am. Because remember, I just said, Paul said, don't be puffed up, don't be arrogant, don't think you're all that in a piece of peanut butter bread, but think that of where we are and who we are in the body of Christ. Now, 1 Corinthians 12 and 7, he says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good, for the common good. 1 Corinthians 14 and 12, so it is with you. Since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, how many of you are eager for gifts of the Spirit to flow through you? He said, try to excel in those that build up the church. Novel concept there. So the gifts of the Spirit are in use in the body of Christ for the common good. For the common good. Also, thank you, Kim, for paying attention. Also, the gifts of the Spirit are to preach the word with signs and wonders. Now, as a good Pentecost, I like this one. Mark 16, 15, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creations. And whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. How many believe? These signs will accompany those who believe in my name, Jesus' name. They will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. So it is to preach the word of God with signs and wonders. I had a friend who was going through cancer and had to take chemo. And every time she would go into the offices and sit down and they would hook her up, she would quote this scripture. I will drink no, if I drink any deadly thing, it will not harm me, as that's going in her body. Amen. And then so number two is to preach the word with signs and wonders. Why are the gifts in operation in the church? Number three, because guys, the struggle is real. 1 Peter 5 and 8, he says, be sober. That means, hey, guys, wake up. Don't be lethargic. And be alert, because your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion. He's seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. Stand fast in the faith and in the knowledge that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. So the struggle is real. Ephesians 6:13, put on the whole armor of God, and when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand firm then with the belt of truth around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And in addition to this, pick up that shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming, fiery darts of the enemy. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on some occasions when you feel like it. Good, y'all are reading. On all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests, with this in mind, be alert. Notice he says that again. It must have been pretty important for us to stay alert, because guys, guess what? The struggle is real. How many of you have had a tough time this week? Just something just didn't quite, wow, look around y'all. And you thought you were the only one. Now be real. How many of you thought, man, nobody else has gone through anything like this? Or nobody knows what I'm dealing with. You know, I bet nobody could match this one, you know. But the struggle is real for every one of us. So we need you. Can you look at someone next to you and say, I need you? That was weak, but I'll take it. We need each other because it's for the common good to build the people up. It's to preach the word with signs and wonders, and the struggle is real. We need each other. So instead of noticing what someone else is doing, what gifts they are allowing the Holy Spirit to flow through them, focusing on what we can't do or wish we could do, let's be diligent with the gifts and the talents that God has given us. I'll never forget, we had a women's pastor that was all of that. I mean, she was an ex-model, she was tall, she had a beautiful voice, and she could walk like a model, and just gorgeous, and she could speak well, you know, she knew the word, and so I got to the point I almost idolized her, you know? And because I began to, sorry, I didn't mean to do that, and so I began to compare myself with her, you know, and I thought, she's tall, I'm short. She's got a beautiful, soft voice. I've got this raspy voice. And she can walk with elegance, and I walk like a butch. And I thought, Lord, it's just not quite fair, you know, that some people get all of the good stuff, you know. She's good looking, you know, and I look at the mirror, and I'm thinking, man, you lack in so many areas, you know. And so I remember going before the Lord because he said, ask, you know, and you shall receive. I'll tell you the rest of that later. And so I went before the Lord, you know, and I'm just telling him everything that's wrong with this, you know, everything that he did wrong, by the way. And then so I told him, I said, you know, Lord, I wish you would make me more like Carol. I mean, she's got it going on. And if you could just make me look like, act like, talk like, be like Carol, wow, I could be really good in the kingdom of God. And I thought the Lord would have this tender mercy, you know, say, I know, honey, I really messed up. I was tired when I made you, you know. And instead, I'm there telling him he needs to make me more like Carol, and he leans down and he says, I didn't need another Carol, or I'd have made another Carol. I made threesome because I needed a threesome. So that's why you guys got me. So look at yourself and say, God made me, and he did good. And he made me for the body of Christ, and I'm important in the body of Christ. Now, there's an Old Testament story that we find in Exodus 17, 8 through 13. I really, really like this story. Amalek came against the children of Israel. Now, Moses was the leader at that time, Amalekites wanted to fight the children of Israel. So how many know you have to have a good leader? He talked about the general gives the orders. You know, you can't have everybody going and doing their own thing. And so in this particular battle, Moses assigned what they needed to do, the general assigned. And so he told Joshua, he said, now you go on down with the troops and you fight against the Amalekites. And he said, I'm going to go up here with Aaron the priest and Hur the helper. I like to think of that like an armor bearer. And he said, and we're going to go up here and sit and watch the battle. And so he began to notice that they would lose. And so he would raise his hands like a victory banner up. And as he did this, they would win. Well, how many of you guys know that as the day wore on, his hands got tired? You do know that, because we can't stand in church and worship for 10 minutes without the blood draining all down here and we're tingling in our fingers. And so there was a time he just needed some help. So Aaron and Hur said, I've got an idea. I'll get on this side and Hur will get on that side and we'll help you. We'll hold your hands up. Now, were they using their hands? It was Moses' hands that they were holding up. Were they the ones down there fighting in the battle? Did they actually have a sword in their hand? No, but every single one of them had a job to do. Every single one of them's job was very important to the success of that campaign in order for them to win. Had one of them failed, they would have lost that battle. Think about that. If one of you fails to show up for your assignment because nobody needs me or because I'm not good enough or whatever the excuses that we use that the enemy wants to throw at us, just remember that had one of them not done their part, what if Joshua down there wielding the battle, about to take out Amalekite, looks up and says, I wish I had Aaron's position. You know, they would have lost the battle. So the point here is that every single one of us have a function, and that function is important, and we need to be doing our part in the body of Christ. Now, I want you to look at someone again, and I want you to say, I need you. That's a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better. All right, Romans 12. We're back in Romans 12 again. I'm going to go down now really quick, 9 through 16. Vance and I used to teach a marriage class, and it was called, do you remember the name of it? Love in Action. I'll help your memory. Because how many of you know that it's easy to say, I love you, ooey gooey. But then when the rubber meets the road and you really got to act like it, you know, you got to demonstrate, you got to show that love. So that's why our mantra was, and you know, it's easier to say I love you than to show I love you. And so that's why we named the class Love in Action. Well, in Romans 12, down in verse 9, he says, your love, though, must be sincere. And then in 10, he said, you've got to be devoted to one another in love and honor the other person above yourself. Now, I see that quite a bit here. The ushers and the greeters are real good with that. Especially if a woman comes in, they still do honor and respect women in this place, and I'm thankful for that. And so they will, you know, honor, but it's when you give position or give to someone else, honoring someone else. And then in 14, he says, bless those who persecute you. But you can go ahead and mark that out because he really didn't mean it. Bless those who persecute you. Bless them and don't curse them. Now, I think we kind of, thank you, Roy. I think we kind of do opposite. We curse them and then ask the Lord to bless us. But he said that he wants us to bless them and don't curse them. And so if someone does you wrong, you know how to really get back at them? You begin to pray for them. You begin to bless them. Lord, I want them to succeed. I want them to excel in this. And sometimes you don't really, really want to mean it. You know, and I'm serious because I've had to pray for people that I wasn't too crazy about. And I can remember one time I was praying for someone that it's harder on me if someone does my husband or my kids or grandkids wrong. And so someone did my husband wrong, but I was having to pray for this person because they did him wrong, and the Lord told me to bless him. And so I'm trying to bless him, and I'm walking through my house, and I'm speaking out blessings over this guy, you know, and everything I could think of. And I got to the door, and I said, but God, I don't mean it. I don't want it to be blessed. I just wish you'd rain fire down from heaven. That's what I really feel. But I'm going to bless him anyway. So sometimes, how many of you know it's not easy to bless those that you just, you know, they just don't sit right in your stomach here. And he says, rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. What does that mean? That's like, Vance has what we call a cat choir, because we did have a bunch of cats till some of them got destroyed. But and he would bring them together, and they would sing as he would give them music. Now, they were not on key. They were not in harmony. But what the Lord wants us to do is to all kind of balance out each other and be in harmony, so it is a beautiful sound to his ear, so that we live in harmony. And then don't be proud, and be willing to associate with people of low position. Don't be conceited. You know, sometimes I think Paul must have fast-forwarded and knew what today was going to look like with people being arrogant, high-minded, conceited. I was thinking, as I'm reading through this, I thought, wow, you're just kind of reading our mail nowadays. Not this church, but, you know, the world. You know, none of us have these bad things. We're all good, you know. Amen. Amen. And then if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Now, won't that just blow his socks off? If someone does you wrong and is your enemy, and you give them water or you give them food, don't you know that's going to blow their mind? I had a neighbor that she didn't like me. Now, I don't know why, since I'm so likable, but she did not like me, and she did everything she could. I mean, she was always just those kind of mean things. It was almost like, you know, the little kindergartner that would just pinch you to irritate you. And so, you know, it was always like she was just trying to irritate me, and she was one that I had to bless. And so I'd bless her, and every time I saw her, I'd wave, you know, and smile and say, I'm just loving you because Jesus tells me I have to, you know. And so, this went on, I bet a couple of years, you know, with this lady not, y'all laughing at me like you don't have neighbors like that, but are y'all so perfect, you know, you don't ever think any bad about people, but so just get those faces off, I know better. So anyway, this went on for a couple of years, you know, and just antagonizing me. Well, and I mean, she really was mean. And so there was this one day I was working out in the front, and I had two beds in the not sleeping beds, but gardening beds in the front of my yard. And so I'm knelt down in my garden, you know, and I'm working in these flower beds. And I hear her backing up, and my first instinct was, I gotta jump up, she's gonna run on me. And so I did. I jumped up and I turned around, you know, like, you know, and she stopped and got out. And I'm thinking, oh, what now? You know, here we go again, you know. And she jumps out and she was bashful and hesitant. And I thought, well, that's not her, you know. And she comes up to me and she says, I just want to tell you something. And I'm thinking, okay, which kid did it this time, you know. And she says, you are the best Christian I have ever seen. I've tried every way to get you to retaliate. And she said, you have actually lived it. And I'm like, hold on, I just dropped my teeth. So, bless your enemy. If your enemy's hungry, take him some food. If your enemy's thirsty, give him something to drink. Now, did anyone here hear me say that that's easy? Good, 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 good. It's not. So, but it's imperative that we, the body of Christ, now begin to function just as Paul. He laid it out for us in those verses, Romans 12, 6 through 9. He kind of was very, very clear how he laid it out. But the goal that he's going for is that he wants us to live in unity as one body. Look around this room. This is one body. It has many people, but it has one body. And he wants us to operate just as that one body. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, Paul says, I'm going to appeal to you. That means it's almost like I'm pleading with you, guys. He said, brothers and sisters, but in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another. Nobody laughed. In what you say, and there be no divisions among you, but that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. That's almost impossible. I appeal to you, he said, that you agree with one another. So, you know, there are times when you just kind of have to, especially if it's leaders, whatever, you know, you just kind of have to agree, you know. Or my husband, you know, sometimes he's wrong, but but because he's my husband, I have to agree with him in order to keep harmony in that house. The truth is, he says, yes, dear, whatever you say, we'll do. But that word there, division, actually means to rip or to tear. So anytime that we begin to think of ourselves as excluded or not as good as, or they don't need us or not a part of, that is putting a rip or a tear in the body of Christ. So if the enemy ever starts to give you that nonsense about you're not valuable, you're not needed, or you have no place here, somebody else could do it a lot better. Hello. I mean, remember that's putting a division or a tear. Don't do that. Let's try to be like-minded in everything that we do. We're doing it because we want to love each other. We want to encourage each other. We want to exhort one another and build each other up. That's what it's all about. You know, you never know. Tanya sent me a text. I just sent her a text. No, I didn't. I prayed it over her. Sorry, my mind, you know. But I prayed this verse over her. And you know, a lot of times when you're praying, the Holy Spirit just kind of takes over and prays for you, even in English, and you say things. And so I said this verse to her, but she came back and she texted back. She just, you just don't know. But that has been a life verse for me. But you know what? I didn't know that. But you know who knew it? God did it. So can we be the conduits? You know, I mean, if he can take any, when I think of him using me, I think of the donkey and the rooster, you know, and I think I'm in pretty good company. And if you don't know, I'm talking about think Balaam and then think Peter. But, you know, God can use anything and use us for his good, for other people. And that's what this is all about, that we think of each other through the lens of love. And if we kind of ever wonder, what does that look like? He gives that to us in Romans 12 there. But also in Romans 15, Paul said, you know, if you're strong, then you need to bear up. Danny, are you here somewhere? Yes, thank you. If we are strong, we are to bear up those that are weak. Not kick them down. Not be like, oh, I'm glad they messed up because now I look a lot better. But to encourage, to strengthen, to help them. If someone is struggling, instead of just writing them off, you know, or racing them, instead of that, can we not encourage them and say, I know you're really struggling. I really enjoyed the sermon this morning, how, you know, he brought that out, that sometimes we do mess up. I mean, we're human beings. We're going to say things we shouldn't say. We're going to do things we shouldn't say. I sure hope that we allow some grace, you know, and love in this place. And that if we're weak, that someone else who's perhaps maybe stronger at that time can lift us up. And then you know what? There's going to be a time they're weak and that we're strong. And we're going to be able to lift them up and encourage them. That's the body of Christ working together in unity. And so he said, be like-minded. There it is again. You know, what is the one thing that we all have that goal, the one thing that we have in common? Somebody said it just a while ago. I was at a prayer meeting, and the one thing the guy said is, you know, I'm giving you release to witness to everyone you work with in this place. He was the president of the company. He said, I give you release to work with, pray with, and talk to everyone here that is not a Christian. He said, because we want them all to go to heaven with us. And so, you know, bottom line is, I don't want to glory in your infirmities, you know. I don't want to feel good if you mess up. And I don't want you to feel good if I mess up, you know. But I want us to encourage one another and be like-minded, you know, because we have the same goal in mind, and I want everyone to go to heaven. I want everyone to run this race successfully. I ran track in high school, and one of the things that we did, even though you're running individually, did you know we were competing as a team? And I could do very well in my event, but if the rest of my team didn't do very well, we didn't score very high as a team, and our school did not win. Same thing in baseball, softball, whatever sport you're in, whatever you're in. If you play as an individual, you're not going to get very far. You know, in the baseball team, you can have the greatest arm and be able to catch and throw and hit. You know, but if everybody else on your team is struggling, you're not going to get very far. And so let's encourage one another. And so if someone is weak, let's come along and be the leg for them, be the arm for them, be the eye for them, be what they need. So let's be like-minded, and then that we be one-minded with one mouth to glorify God. Wouldn't that be beautiful? That in this place, on this Sunday night, that we with one voice could glorify God together, because we live in such harmony and such like-mindedness. You know, so I have been thinking about, I was really been in Romans 12 all the way through 15, and I couldn't get out of it, and I just kept going back to it, and reading it. And I believe that what the message for us is that to remember that we are one body, and that He wants us to be unified in our thoughts and in our actions, and that we do all of this in order to build up, to encourage one another, because we want every single person to make it to heaven, and we want every single person to know how valued they are. There may be people in this place that don't feel very valued, like they don't have much to give, much to offer in the kingdom. Can I tell you that my experience has shown me that it's usually those that are the most talented that feel that they're the least talented, or the ones that feel they have the least to give have the most to give. So if you're sitting here tonight and you think that you really don't measure up, we kind of throw away your ruler stick, and quit measuring yourself up against somebody else. Instead, let's just kind of realize, you know, that we're all humans. And that all He wants us to do is to love each other, to be like-minded, to encourage each other in the faith. As I was thinking about this, I told you it was going to be a little different. I was going to have some people help me preach tonight. But as I was thinking about this and praying about it, we, on Wednesday nights, we pray, by the way, before service. And so you're all welcome to join us. But at the end of it, Becky felt that she had a word from the Lord, and I agree that I think she had a word from the Lord for this body, and particularly for you know, those of us that Wednesday night. And as she began to speak that word forth, I thought, oh my goodness, this is just hammering what I knew that God wanted me to speak about tonight. So I've asked Becky to share with you what, I don't know if it was a vision or just a word, but either one's great. But anyway, would you share with the people what God gave you?
Thinking back on it, I realized that this was God saying what He saw here in this body. And it went like this. He was saying, I see the body of Christ, this church body, and it is beautiful. And God is pleased with us. And the main idea, and I saw this kind of like a picture, it was the body operating in and through and around, and we were working and moving and operating in complete harmony, just like the oiled precision parts of a clock, just moving. We weren't bumping into each other, we were just moving. Very effectively, very cleanly. And I see each movement back and forth, in and through. It reminds me of the way clock parts move with each other, operating in harmony and in unity with each other. God said there's no missing parts. And I thought, you know, Lord, I bet that there are some positions not filled. God said there are no missing parts, because He sees us as complete. Prophetically, He sees us as complete. each position being filled with the right person. So as new people come through the door, and I felt, and I didn't say this, but I felt glad that we need to pray for the new people coming in, that there will be no confusion. They will know exactly where they fit, because God sees us as complete.
So I want to do one more thing that's a little different, and I got this. I was talking to one of the precious ladies in our church this past week, she was just sharing, do you worshipers ever cry up here? Yeah. She was just sharing just how beautiful it is, you know, when we pray together. And I think it's been a couple of months now where Pastor Ronnie had us as a church pray in one big circle. And I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do something else. But after talking to her, I thought, you know, it is beautiful when we pray for each other. Sometimes it feels a little uncomfortable, you know. But there was a beauty in that. I saw that just earlier today as we, as a company, we're praying together for each other, you know, with needs. And so what I'm going to ask you to do, and I can't make you, I know that, but I'm going to ask you, I'm going to appeal to you. And I'm going to ask you, if you'll get in groups of maybe four or five, and I want you to pray for each other. Yeah, you can move. Everybody's like, now. And make sure that, you know, you just kind of, is there anything I can pray for you about? Is there anything that you might be struggling with this week? Whatever it is. And would you just kind of look around and make sure no one's left out, guys, that everyone has somebody that's praying with them. Oh, yes.